ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तं स्तुमा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Now we are seeing in Atmabodha text the verses which reveal what Atma is not, and also thereby it reveals what Atma is. By negating what Atma is not, these verses reveal what Atma is. The 32nd verse and all, what Atma is not is, there's a method, this neti neti vachanaihi. Through negation of what Atma is not, Atma is revealed. I have done 32nd verse last class, haven't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there it is said, Atma being free from all the changes, modifications which are there for the body. Why? What are all the modifications the body is subject to? The body is subject to birth, death, the disintegration. Body is subject to birth and disintegration. I don't want to use the word layaha, the word layaha, I can say disintegration. And old age, etc. All the old age, one word implies, jara, one word implies all the sixfold modifications which you understood in Atmabodha class. Asti jayate vardhate viparinamate apakshiyate nashyati. All the sixfold modifications. The physical body was already there in some form. It is not coming to existence from without having been there before. It was already there. But in what form was it there? No more food, no more elements. It was already there, now it is there. There was asti, and now it has come into, in this form it has come into existence. Jayate, vardhate, it grows. And viparinamate, it undergoes all the viparinama, metamorphosis, then it also slowly starts declining, it also decays. And then it gets disintegrated. Therefore, body we have subject to sixfold modifications, etc. And therefore, and this, well, Atma is free from these changes. Why? Because Atma is distinct from the body. The physical body alone is subject to all these modifications. And Atma being distinct from the physical body is free from these changes and modifications. Anyatvat. No, Deha Anyatvat. Due to Atma being distinct from the physical body, Atma is free from all the changes that the body is subject to. Then Atma is free from the sense organs also. Which means Atma is free from sense organs means what? Atma does not have sense organs. Atma is not any one of the sense organs. Atma is not any of the sense organs, or Atma does not have sense organs. Therefore, Atma is not even associated, connected or with any of the sense objects also. A sense organ alone can come in contact with the sense object. Atma is not the sense organ, none of the sense organs, therefore Atma is not associated, connected to any association with any other sense objects. Nor does the Atma have the sense organs, the Atma to come in contact with association with the sense objects. Which means Atma has no attachment to the sense organ, sense objects. Atma is not attached to any of the sense objects. Atma does not come in contact with any of the sense objects. Why? Because Atma does not have any sense organs. But we have to see later on, Atma is distinct from the body. Therefore, Atma is free from all the modifications the body is subject to. When we say, but the body is nothing but the Atma. Atma does not have the sense organs. Therefore, Atma does not come in contact with the sense objects. Therefore, Atma is not associated or attached to any of the sense objects. At the same time, all the sense organs are nothing but the Atma. Anyway, that's what actually we have seen in the last class, and we had to go to the next one. The same thing is continued again. Amanastvatname dukkha ragadvesha bhayadayaha. Amanastvat. Amanastvat.
Amanastvat.
Name.
Name.
Dukkha raga.
Dukkha raga.
Dvesha.
Dvesha.
Bhayadayaha.
Bhayadayaha.
Name dukkha raga dvesha bhayadayaha.
Name dukkha raga dvesha bhayadayaha.
Aprano.
Aprano.
Aprano hyamana.
Aprano hyamana.
Shubhra.
Shubhra.
Ityadi shruti shasanat.
Ityadi shruti shasanat.
Now, yes, not the Atma is distinct from the gross physical form, but Atma is not really different, distinct from the sense organs. Now he says, Atma is distinct from even the mind. See, it is easy for one to know that the Atma be distinct from the physical body. But it's very difficult to see the Atma being distinct from the very mind. Atma is distinct from the physical body and sense organs, he said in the first verse, the 32nd verse. 33rd verse says, Atma is being distinct from the mind and physiological functions. Therefore, the first line of 32nd verse says, Atma being distinct from sthula shariram. Second line of 32nd verse and the 33rd verse reveal Atma being distinct from the subtle body. Atma is not the physical body, Atma is not the subtle body. See what you saw in Tattvabodha class. Atma is different from sthula, sukshma, karana, sharirani. But you understood that. And here, how is it put here? Atma is distinct from the sthula shariram. That is said in the first line of the 32nd verse. And the second line of the 32nd verse and the 33rd verse reveal Atma being distinct from the sukshma shariram. That is put differently. That's all. So he says, Atma is not only Atma is distinct from the gross physical form, not only Atma is distinct from the sense powers, Atma is distinct from the even mind, manaha, antahkaranam. So, amanastvat, manaha, manaha means antahkaranam, manastvam means being endowed with the mind is called manastvam. But here amanastvam means what? Being free from the mind, not having the mind, not being endowed with the mind. Does Atma have the mind? Atma means here the consciousness. Does consciousness have the mind? Consciousness is just the consciousness. Reality is consciousness. Does the reality have the mind? Does reality obtaining in an individual is Atma. Reality obtaining in individual is Atma. Does this Atma the reality? All pervasive reality obtaining in an individual have the mind? No. It doesn't have the mind. Therefore, amanastvam means not having the mind, not being endowed with the mind. And tva, the panchami, amanastvat means no, hetvarte panchami. The fifth case is used to tell the reason. Due to not having the mind, no, due to not being endowed with the mind, amanastvat, therefore what? Only the anything that which has the mind alone can have. Mind alone can have what? All these different emotions. What are the different states of mind, different thought modifications can be there only mind. What is no, mind there, then a modification will be there for in the mind. So if Atma doesn't have the mind, the Atma cannot have all those different states of mind, conditions of the mind. What are they? He said dukkham, ragaha, dveshaha, bhayam, adayaha. Adayaha means etc. You add some more things. Jealousy, hatred, anger, desire. I imply all other things. Adayaha. See, he says, all these dukkham, sorrow, are different degrees of pain or grief. Ragaha, attachment or passion, you know, dependence, and also dveshaha, aversion or hatred, bhayam, fear, and adhyaha means etc., desire, anger, jealousy. You can add some more things also, what are other emotions. All these are possible only if there is an antakaranam. Only if there is a mind, emotional aspect of the mind. The mind is there, these are all possible. Ragaha, dveshaha, krodaha, moha, madaha, matsaryam, bhayam, ityadaya. All these are possible only if there is a mind. But Atma doesn't, why are we discussing now? Actually, I is Atma, I am Atma, and Atma has no mind. Atma is free from all these emotions, all these, the different states of mind also. Like anger, desire, etc. are not there for Atma. Atma has no dukkham. Atma has no ragaha, attachment. Atma has no dependence. Atma has no fear. Atma has no hatred. Atma is free from all of them. Why? Because Atma has no mind. If Atma has the mind, the Atma also will have all these things. Atma has no mind. Atma is free from mind. Therefore, all these kama krodha, lobha moha, madha matsarya, raga dvesha, bhaya, etc., fear, etc., are not there for the Atma. Atma is free from sorrow. Atma is completely free from any degree of pain or and attachment or hatred or fear. So amanastvat na me. Me means I am the Atma. And Atma is free from mind. Therefore, I am free from what? Mind. I does not have the mind. Atma doesn't have the mind. I am Atma. I is Atma. I am Atma, therefore I doesn't have the mind. Therefore, I actually is free from what? I is free from sorrow, anger, fear, attachment, aversion, passion, etc. I doesn't have all these things. Then we will say I have fear, etc. We say only when you are not able to distinguish I from the body, mind is complex. Only when you are not able to resolve the I, see I being Atma, I being the very self, which is distinct from the body, mind is complex, you can say I have fear, I have anger, I have passion, etc. Really speaking, I is free from all of them, which means Atma is free from all of them. Then, aprano hi amanaha. Apranaha hi amanaha. Amanaha. Apranaha, and also Atma doesn't have, what now? Atma is free from the physiological functions also. Consciousness does not have physiological functions. There is no physiological function possible without the presence or existence of consciousness, the Atma. Without the Atma, there cannot be any physiological function at all. But Atma by itself doesn't have a physiological function. Therefore, apranaha, amanaha, therefore, and what is Atma? It is shubraha. Shubraha means it is pure. It will be pure means it is free from all these changes, modifications, free from all of them. Therefore, it is all impurities. Therefore, it is clean and pure shubraha. Ityadi shruti shasanat. Shruti shasanam means this word shrutihi, the Veda. Veda talks about the shruti shasanam means what is declared by the Veda. What is declared by the Veda? There's a declaration of Veda is the Atma is free from all of them. Due to the declaration of Veda, Shrutihi, that Atma is free from all of them. The Atma is free from the pranas. The Atma is free from all these, even we have to add here, supply here. Atma being free from pranas, physiological functions. Atma doesn't have hunger or thirst also. You know, all these effects of being endowed with pranas also are not there for the Atma. So he says, apranaha hi amanaha, shubraha, ityadi shruti shasanat. Ityadi shruti shasanat, due to declaration of the Veda, the Atma is free from physiological functions, therefore free from all these hunger, thirst, etc. The biological, physiological problems, and Atma is also free from all other emotional problems, because Atma is free from mind. Atma doesn't have the mind. So the physiological problems are possible, hunger, thirst, etc. are possible, biological problems are possible only if pranas are there. Atma is free from prana, therefore those problems are not there. Atma doesn't have the mind, therefore emotional problems are also not there. Mind is there, emotional problems are inevitable. Physiological functions are there, they are inevitable. But Atma is free from all of them. Atma doesn't have all these problems. The problems are there, okay, the physiological functions are, these problems are, mind is, emotional problems are, body is, physical body's limitations are. See, body, mind, sense, complex, ease. And they, all of them have their own limitations and problems. Inevitable, choiceless problems are there. But we are not undoing the limitations of the body. We are not trying to say that any miracle will happen that will solve the limitations and problems of the body, mind and complex. Those problems will be there. Physical body ease means it has both plus and minus, which means advantages are there. It serves as an abode of enjoyment. It has its own limitations. Physiological functions are there. It has the advantage of having these physiological functions, and they have their own problems caused by them also. Intellect is there. Mind is there. Memory is there. They are all very beautiful. The advantages are there. They have their own limitations, and the problems also are there. All of them are there. Nothing is removed, nothing is corrected, nothing needs to be corrected also. The problem is only if you have I sense in the body, mind, and complex. that which means I actually being Atma. I being Atma. And I not know that I being Atma is not known. Therefore, what I is, in fact, this I being mistaken for some of these body mind complex. That is the problem. Therefore, all these limitations are superimposed upon I, and that is what is the problem. The problem being centered on I is the problem. The problems are centered on the body mind and complex. And if you're able to distinguish the I from the body mind complex, and all the, you can be objective towards the physiological, physical, biological, emotional problems. The lack of objectivity is the problem. It is not the body having its limitations. Body enjoying having its limitations is not the problem. Mind having its limitations is not the problem. Physiological functions having its own problems is not the problem. The problem is a lack of objectivity is the problem. Lack of objectivity means you take the problems of the body, mind's complex as to be the problems of the I. It is because you're not able to distinguish the I from this body, mind's complex. And what is this I? Actually, I am Atma. I is Atma. What is Atma? The consciousness. The knowledge, I am knowledge, consciousness, I am Atma. And Atma as consciousness, the Atma is free from all of them. This understanding alone will help us to have the objectivity. Therefore, he continues in these verses. Apranohi amanaha shubhraha ityadi shuti sasanate. Atma is free from these problems. Therefore, I am free from these problems. It is not enough to simply say Atma is free from all these things. We have to see that I am distinct from this body, mind, and complex. I am Atma, that I am free from all these problems. This is what we have to understand here. So now he continues. Now what Atma is then? If Atma is not all this, if I am not all these things, I am Atma, just distinct from all of them, free from all these problems. Therefore, what is Atma then? Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirguno
Nirguno
Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nishkriyo Nityo.
Have you found the verse?
This one.
Okay. Nirguno. What happened?
I have another verse here. That's all. Etasvat jayate prano manah sarvendriyani cha kam vayu jyotir apa prithivi Vishvasya Dharini.
Okay. It's the Upanishad mantra which has come in between. He must have added, but in this context, maybe they have removed it and put it elsewhere.
Okay.
Okay, because what they thought, why they have put it differently, nothing wrong. We can read the verse later on also. So what is your next verse, Vandiji? After that, Nirguno.
Then is the one you just quoted, which is Nirguno. Nirguno.
Okay. We'll read it and we'll come back later on.
Okay.
In fact, we can read it verse also, no problem, what Vandiji has read out. Read it, Vandiji. Etasma jayate kam.
Etasma jayate prano manaha. Sarvendriyani cha.
Okay. Etasmat jayate manaha, pranaha, manaha, sarva indriyani cha. Kam vayuhu jyotirapav prithivi with vishvasya dharini. I don't have the text anyway, I can just say it. So why in this context he says that etasmat jayate pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyani cha. Kam vayu jyotir apav prithivi vishvasya dharini. In between he has brought in this verse. Actually some text, original text has said this. And they have removed this verse in between because they want to put all the nature of the Atma continuously. If Atma is not this body, mind, it's complex and not the distinct from, free from all these functions and the attributes or the limitations or the problems of this body, mind, it's complex, then what Atma is? To talk about it, they have gone to the nature, they have gone to the next verse, they moved on to the verses which reveal the nature of the Atma. But in this context, the original text, what happens? They talk about Atma is free from the body, mind, and complex. Atma is free from the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, free from pranas, mind, etc., and the limitations and the functions, and the problems, you know, all this, Atma is free from all of them. Why? Because, etasmat jayate, in fact, from Atma alone, all these things come into existence. What are these pranas? Where do the pranas come into existence from? If the pranas are existent, means they are existing where? Where do they exist? The pranas are there. When the pranas are, they are not exist, they are existent. They are existing means they are not existing outside of their own reality. And the reality of pranas is what? The reality of the pranas is that from where the pranas have come into existence from. So the Atma is the very reality, the origin of the pranas, from where the pranas have come into existence. Therefore, the pranas have their existence in the very Atma. Very interesting, important verse. Etasmat jayate. From this Atma, etasmat means idilirundhudan, in the Atma irundhudan. From this Atma alone, jayate comes into existence, what? Pranaha. The pranas, pranaha is born of this Atma, means prana has come into existence from this very Atma. Therefore, prana, when you say the prana has come into existence from the Atma, what does it mean? Now prana, which is existent, has its existence in the very Atma. Prana does not exist outside of the Atma. Prana cannot exist independently without the Atma. Atma's existence is the prana's existence. In fact, prana is nothing but the Atma. This is very important. Prana is Atma. See, because what happens when we read all these things now, I am not, when people negate all these things, body, mind, complex. Oh, I am Atma. Now I am distinct from the physical body, I am not the body. I am distinct from the sense organs, I am not the sense organs. I am distinct from the pranas, I am not the pranas. I am distinct from the mind, I am not the mind. People, then what am I then? Then how are you going to account for this body, mind, and complex? Where are we going to leave it? Then confusion, isn't it? Simultaneously, the teacher wants to take care of it. So what he does, Shankara, very, very, you know, see, I am distinct from the body, mind, complex is fine. At the same time, you have to account for the body, mind, complex also. So what he says, etasmat jayate pranaha, manaha, you know, indriyanicha, sarva indriyanicha, all these sense powers, all these powers of organs of actions, all these 10 powers, which you are able to objectify. You are able to objectify your own sense powers. You are able to objectify your powers of organs of actions. All these powers, what are they? What is this mind which you are able to objectify? What is that antahkaranam? You are able to differentiate as the mind and intellect and memory, etc. What is this antahkaranam? What is mind is? What these physiological functions are, what this prana is, all of them, Atma is distinct from all of them, fine. But what are they? Do you see the difference? Atma is distinct from all of them, fine. But what are they then? Hey, all of them have come into existence from this Atma, very Atma, which is distinct from all of them. Etasmat jayate pranaha manaha sarva indriyanicha. And not only these subtle forms, he has to say what? No, even the physical body has come into existence from the Atma alone. Instead of saying it, what he says, even the origin of this physical body, the food, which is that in the elements, all of them have come into existence from this very Atma. So, kam vayuhu jyotihi apaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. Even the sustainer of the entire universe, the mother earth, the water, the fire, the space, you know, the air, the space, all these elements which are the very origin of the physical body, and all of them have come into existence from this Atma only. Which means, all of them have come into existence from this Atma means, they are now, when they are existing also, they do not have existence outside of the Atma. In fact, they exist in the very Atma. They are nothing but the Atma. I have to say these three points, okay? All these things, these elements, and the elemental product, the physical body, and elemental product, subtle aspects, all of them have come into existence from the Atma means, while they are existing, they do not have existence outside of the Atma. They are existing in the Atma, very Atma. And therefore, they are nothing but the Atma. Is it clear now? Mm-hmm. They're all Atma only. Atma is not body mind's complex, but the body mind's complex is nothing but the Atma. You have to be very clear here. Water is not the wave, but the wave is nothing but the water. You have to resolve the wave in the water. So Atma, actually, I, when you say the reality, the substance of the substantive I, actually is the consciousness, that's okay, fine, which is distinct. And what about this mind, what about this pranas, what about the physical body? Instead of saying physical body, he just gone straight to the elements. All these elements, therefore elementals, no, all the sense power, all the powers, 10 powers, physiological functions, the entire antakaranam, all of them have come into existence from the Atma means they do not have existence independent of, outside of, other than the Atma. They're all Atma. That is so, what is that Atma from which all of them have come into existence? See, first you distinguish the Atma from all of them, then you resolve all of them in the very Atma. Now, what is that Atma which alone, from which everything has come into existence and which is distinct from all that which has come into existence from? What is that Atma? That is what is said in the next verse. Now we'll see that. Have you got it?
Got it.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo. See, better you write down Radhniji's ones. The verse is not found in your book. Incorporate in between, please add it, because otherwise it make it complete. Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirvikalpo Niranjana.
Nirvikalpo Niranjana.
Nishkriyo Nirakaro.
Nishkriyo Nirakaro.
Nitya Mukto Smi Nirmalaha.
Nitya Mukto Smi Nirmalaha.
So, Swami, Nirvikaro.
Yeah.
Nirvikaro.
Nitya Mukto Smi Nirmalaha.
Nitya Mukto Smi Nirmalaha.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirvikalpo Niranjanaha.
Nirvikalpo Niranjanaha.
Nirvikaro Nirakaro.
Nirvikaro Nirakaro.
Nitya Muktosmi Nirmalaha.
Nitya Muktosmi Nirmalaha.
See, now Atma is distinct from all of them, all these elements, the elemental products, the body maintenance complex. And I am the Atma. And in fact, that Atma, I am that Atma from which everything, all these things have come into existence. Therefore, everything is me. Everything is Atma means everything is me. In fact, the body is I am. The body I am. I am, you can, body is I. Sense organs are I. Pranas are I. Mind is I. Elements are I. Elements are I means I am Atma, everything I am, everything I am. Aham idam sarvam. That is the meaning here. And if that is what this Atma is, he says, Atma, what is the nature of the Atma? All these words are used here. Suppose sometimes you have to say by saying what it does not have. See, point, not what it does, absence of something also is used. You know, suppose who is that person, if I say, is a method, I mean, Sanskrit, one of the methods is always mentioning the, suppose you say that bald headed person, you know, the bald head man is the, is so and so, if I say. And you can make out who that person is, isn't it? The bald head means what? I point out some, I want you to understand somebody who does not have the hair. It means absence of the hair. Bald head implies absence of the hair. So the absence of hair, it helps you to understand the arevati, who the person is, isn't it? Absence of given thing is used as a indicating or implying means. So here also, what it doesn't have has to say, what Atma does not have. He says, what is absent in Atma? Nirgunaha. Atma is devoid of all the attributes. Nirgunaha means what now? Guna rahitaha. Atma is free from all properties or gunas. Nirgunaha means it is free from all attributes. Nirgunaha. Free from attributes means you can see all the attributes the body has, the sense organs have. Everything in this world, any object, whether it is available for any of the sense perception or thought perception, every object is subject to have some attribute or the other. Anything which is perceptible through sense organs or the mind, thought, has some attributes or the other. Therefore, it is describable also in Mandukya Upanishad class, where I'll explain this very well. We are going to see that very beautifully. Anyway, so Nirgunaha, when you say, what does it mean? It is free from attributes means Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. Nirgunaha. So if anything which has a gunaha, any attribute is what? Is Atma is not anything which has the attribute. So Atma being distinct from everything, anything which has an attribute. Therefore Atma is Nirgunaha, also distinguishes Atma from everything which has, anything which has attributes. It distinguishes. Between Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. So Nirgunaha. Then we say Nishkriyaha. Nishkriyaha, this particular thing, any object can be associated with some sort of function or action. Like if you say, every object, a living thing or a non-living thing, can be associated with some sort of function or action. Everything is involved in some function or the other. Therefore, it is nishkriyaha. When Atma is free from actions, it is of the nature of actionlessness. You cannot associate Atma with any action or any function. Atma is completely free from all forms of functions, all forms of actions. In fact, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. For nishkriyaha. Nishkriyaha, nirgunaha. And any other object, every object in the world except Atma, everything which is an object of knowledge, subtle or gross, you know, available for sense perception or thought perception, has some attribute or the other, therefore associated with some form of action or the other, some form of function or the other. You know, what now? It is everything in the world is sakriyam. Sakriyam is what now? Associated with every object in this world is associated with some action or function or many actions or functions. But Atma is not associated with any action or function. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, it distinguishes Atma from the entire world of objects which are associated with some karma or the other. And Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Nishkriyaha. The Atma, the all-pervasive reality obtaining in every individual as the truth of the individual, is of the nature of actionlessness. Consciousness does not do any action. It is not involved in any functions also. Without the Atma, no action is possible, no function is possible. Because any object associated with any action or function itself exists in the Atma. Therefore, no function or action on the part of any object is possible without the Atma. But Atma by itself as consciousness is not associated with any action or function. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Sayal in mai. Therefore, nishkriyaha. Every word is very beautiful. We are going to see this later on. I'm going to talk to you in Mundaka class. It's very, very useful. I'm going to say that there. You know, the one argument used to come, the very introduction itself, I had to start with an argument. How can we say that Upanishads, you know, are able to reveal the Upanishads serve as means of knowledge of Brahman, the reality? Why? Because we say words cannot describe Brahman. Words cannot reveal Brahman. And the words can reveal Brahman only if an object, words can reveal any object only if they, you know, if they have certain conditions, fulfill certain conditions. And any object should fulfill certain conditions, a criteria. Only then an object can be revealed by a word. And everything in this world fulfill. There are five conditions we have. At least every one will fulfill at least few conditions, so it can be described, it can be revealed by word. Whereas Brahman does not fulfill any of those conditions. Therefore, Brahman cannot be revealed by a word. That is the actual argument is going to be there. And what are those? We are going to see it in the class anyway. And here we say, you know, Atma is what now? I taught you in even Kenak class. Rudihi, Jatihi, Gunaha, Karma, Sambandaha. I told you, these are the five conditions an object should fulfill. Only then a word can reveal an object. Brahman doesn't have Jati, Brahman doesn't have Gunaha, Brahman doesn't have Kriya, no Sambandha. Therefore, you know, the Brahman cannot be revealed by a word. Then we are going to see that. So here also we say, nirgunaha nishkriyaha. There is something, I don't need to talk about it now, that is for the Saturday class, but something came to my mind, I just want to say that today. I am going to, very starting is going to be, you are going to take off from Taittiriya, Mandukya, you see that. So here nirgunaha nishkriyaha. So atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma means you have to say I am atma, and therefore I am as atma not involved in any of the actions. I is not associated with any of the actions or functions. For nishkriyaha, then nityaha. Nityaha again, what now? Nityaha is a very important word. We have seen many times, we came across this word in Bhagavad Gita everywhere. Nityaha means eternal. Eternal, when you say atma, is beginningless and endless. When you say beginningless and endless, what does it mean? It is not created, which means there is no cause. Atma has no beginning, means atma has no cause. The causeless, atma being uncaused, causeless, is beginningless. Because it is beginningless, it is also independent. It is causeless, therefore it is independent. Being independent, it is beginningless. Being beginningless, it is also endless. Anything can have end if it has a beginning. Beginning is possible only if it has dependence. Dependence is there only if it has a cause. So atma being uncaused, causeless, independent, beginningless reality, it has no end, therefore it is everlasting, eternal reality. Nityaha. And therefore, it's again, you can distinguish atma what now. Then it is, if atma is nityaha, it is distinguishable from what? Everything in this world is anityam only. Other than atma, there is nothing which is nityam. Is there anything which is nityam, anityam here? Everything is anityam only. Why? Because everything has an end. As you see how things change, everything is subject to change. Therefore, everything is subject to end, has an end also. End means it undergoes a change. Because and everything has a beginning also. And not only beginning, everything has dependent existence also. And everything has a cause. Everything in this universe, you have to distinguish this. So how are you going to see nothing in this world, no object that you perceive? The lokaha, lokyate iti lokaha, the whole jagat which is perceived, which is available for your knowledge, objectifiable, this objectifiable, perceptible world of objects, everything here is anityam only. Why anityam? Everything has to change, end, everything has a beginning, and everything has cause, everything has dependence also. And atma is not any of these objects which are perceiving in the world. So nityaha. And atma is the very beginningless reality. Therefore, nityaha. Nirgunaha. Nishkriyaha. Nityaha. Every word is very beautiful. You have to see that. I am that attribute reality. I am consciousness, the reality which is of the nature of attributelessness. I am the consciousness which is of the nature of actionlessness. I am the consciousness, a beginningless, endless, changeless, uncaused, causeless, independent, eternal reality. Then nirvikalpaha. Nirvikalpaha. Vikalpaha means that which is subject to division. Divisible is called nirvikalpa, savikalpa. Divisibility, division is possible anything which has parts. Vikalpa means not divisible. Nirvikalpa means what now? Indivisible. Why it is indivisible? Because it is one whole. One whole means what? So one partless, indivisible whole. Therefore, it is what? It is, therefore it is indivisible. Like how space cannot be divided. Why space can be divided? Because space is a partless whole. A partless whole is not subject to division, not divisible. Therefore, it is nirvikalpa, partless, therefore indivisible. Nirvikalpa. Because you have to see as knowledge, the pure knowledge, as consciousness. You know, I as consciousness is what? Is partless. Is there's no parts. It's partless whole. Therefore, it's indivisible. And niranjanaha. Niranjanaha means it is pure. It is free from all blemishes. Anjanam, you know, all, nothing is untainted, pure reality. Free from all dirt, everything, all limitations, niranjanaha, niranjanam. Nothing can, it's asangam, asangarte, okay, you have to use this, niranjanaha. Then he continues again the same thing, nirgunaha, nishkriyaha, nityaha, nirvikalpaha, niranjanaha. And this he says, nirvikaraha. Already I have explained to you, nityaha, nirvikaraha means, vikaraha means modification or change. Vikaraha, this kridhatu, the different affixes, prefixes give different meanings. Akaraha, vikaraha, no? Like different meanings are there. So here, nirvikaraha means, it is free from all changes and modifications. It is not the Atma's consciousness. The consciousness is free from any change or modification or whatsoever. Therefore, nirvikaraha doesn't undergo any change. Therefore, nirvikaraha. What change does happen on the part of consciousness? When does it happen? Never. The timeless reality is there changelessly ever. Ever changeless. Changelessness is the nature of the consciousness. Therefore, it is not subject to any modification. Nirvikaraha means is free from all modifications, which implies Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Changelessness also implies what? Atma, changelessness and actionlessness imply one thing. Atma is of the nature of, you know, it is unmoving. It doesn't move from one place to another. No movement or the motionlessness. Atma is of the nature of motionlessness. Asaivatradu, it cannot move from one place to other, nor can anything, anybody else push it to other one place also, because it is all pervasive. As all pervasive, it is of the nature of motionlessness, and it is of the nature of changelessness, it is of the nature of changelessness, which is not subject to any modifications. Nirvikaraha means subject to any changes or modifications. Unmodifiable, not subject to modifications, such nirvikaraha. Then nirakaraha. See nirvikaraha, then nirakaraha. See kara, kru is the same dhatu, but prefix is changes. Vikara, akara. Akaraha means appearance or form. Is called akara. Nirakaraha means Atma is of the nature of formlessness. It is formless. Consciousness is formless, is all pervasive, changeless, timeless, independent reality has no form of its own. Okay? With what? Not a form. Any form is subject to change. Any form is subject to change. Therefore, Atma is of the nature of formless, is not subject to any change at all, means it is free from forms also. It is of the nature of formlessness. But nirakaraha. Nirakaraha. Then, this Atma, which is of the nature of formlessness, which is formless, is also Nitya Muktaha. Nitya Muktaha means what? Ever free. Never bound by any limitations. Ever free. Ever free. Nitya Muktaha Asmi. Ever free. Nitya Muktaha. Nitya Muktaha. Nitya Mukta ever free. See, Mukti he means free from what? Atma is ever free means free from what? Free from all the limitations and free from the bondage. The Atma has no birth, Atma has no death, Atma is not subject to any limit changes or limitations. I mean, Atma is ever free. Atma is not bound by any notions also. Consciousness is not bound by any notions. Whereas now the bondage belongs to what? I am a mortal. What is that? I am an individual, limited individual. I am a mortal. I am going to die. All these notions are binding notions. And notions are notions. Where are the notions? Notions are mind. Notions belong to the mind. And the notions cause bondage. And the notion, what is bound here? Bondage is not there for the consciousness, Atma. Your Atma is what now? Free from even the bondage. Your Atma is ever free. Atma never becomes bound. Therefore, Atma doesn't need to attain freedom also. The bondage is in the notion. Therefore, the freedom also is only from the notion. Bondage caused by the notion which is there in the mind. And freeing the mind from that wrong, correction of that wrong notion is what? Freedom, again, is only in the mind. So, manaha eva manushyanam karanam bandhamocha yoho. Freedom and bondage, these notions belong to the mind alone. Atma, the consciousness, ever free. Therefore, there is never bound. Therefore, there is no need for consciousness to attain moksha also. We talk about attainment of moksha. Who attains moksha? Atma attains. Therefore, there is no path. Nityam. Then, Atma from all blemishes and impurities. All is a Niranjanaha. Atma is untainted, untouched by the limitations. Niranjanaha. Nirmalaha means Atma is free from all impurities and blemishes. We say Punyam, Papam. We talk about the Punya Papas. Oh, I am a papi, I am a sinner. I have done wrong thing. No, there's a guilt and there's a hurt born of commissions and omissions on one's own part. Therefore, what is punyam? Punyam, who has punyam? Who has papam? Does consciousness have punyam and papam? Does consciousness attract punyam, papa, phalam? Pain and pleasure? No. Atma is not afflicted by consciousness, is free from punya papa phalam. Indiyama sukham and dukkham also. Consciousness, Atma, the consciousness is free from punyam and papam also. Because Atma is free from doership and enjoyership also. Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Therefore, Atma has no punyam or papam. Therefore, Atma has no experiences of pains and pleasures also. Atma free from all limitations and blemishes and impurities of the mind. We already seen name what we have has been said earlier. Dukkha, raga, dvesha, bhaya, deha, name means Atma is free from all impurities of the mind. Atma is free from all blemishes such as punya, papam, doership, enjoyership, etc. Now, atma is nirmalaha, means ever pure, ever free from all impurities and blemishes. So, punya, papa, rahitaha, atma. That is the meaning here, nirmalaha. Okay, atma, atma, visa, atma, nirmalaha, atma, niranjanaha, atma, nirvikara, nirvikaraha, atma, nirakaraha, atma, nirgunaha, atma, nishkriyaha, atma, nityaha, atma, nirvikalpaha, atma, niranjanaha, fine. Who is that atma? Aham, nitya, muktaha, asmi. Don't say atma, 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 just say I am. I am of the nature of attributelessness. No, I am of the nature of formlessness. I am of the nature of actionlessness. I am of the nature of fullness. I am of the nature of, you know, wholeness. I am of the nature of formlessness. I am of the nature of changelessness. I am ever free, pure, in a blemish-free, impurity-free, Atma, the consciousness. This is what I am. You have to place I am there. Take the word Atma and place I am. So he says, Nitya Mukta Asmi. Asmi means I am. I am Atma, which is of this nature. Okay? And whereas I am distinct from this body, mind, sense complex, which are all subject to all these changes, etc. Except Atma, everything is what? Sagunaha, Sakriyaha, Anityaha, you know, Savikalpaha. You have to say that. Savikaraha, Sakaraha, Nitya Bandaha, you know, all, everything is what? Samalaha only. Only Atma is free from all them. So Nitya Muktaha Asmi. Asnitya muktosmi nirmalaha. Asmi here means, he says, because I am that. I am that means, here actually the I has to be I when you say, that I actually is mixed with this body minus complex. I identify with the body minus complex. Really speaking, I is one of the manifestations. Like how body is a manifestation, sense organs are manifestations, powers of organs are manifestations, mind is a manifestation, intellect is a manifestation, pranas are manifestations, and different thoughts are manifestations. All different thoughts are manifestations. So also the knowledge the universe is a manifestation. So also the knowledge I am is also a manifestation. One of the manifestations is I, which is distinct from every other manifestation. It's like, suppose when you see it in the ocean, so many waves are there. What are the waves? Each wave is a appearance of a wave of water. So every wave should think, what now? All these waves are manifestations, so am I. What should a wave think? How should a wave see itself in relation to other waves? How should a wave think? All these waves here are manifestations of the water. So am I another manifestation of water? Therefore what? I am as anything else is. I don't. So the wave cannot say, I have these waves. So body is a manifest, gross manifestation. So I is also what? Another manifestation, subtle manifestation. It's a knowledge. Physical, no, the sense powers are manifestations. The every thought is a manifestation. All these are manifestations of the reality, you know. But there's a given one organism, it is appearing. And all these varieties of organisms are also what? No. All of them are manifestations only. And each organism, there is a manifestation I, of I. And what is this I? But we are not able to see that how I is as good a manifestation as anything else. That is what is called mixing up. We are not able to distinguish the I. What the I is can be distinguished, then we are only asked, is not wrong. Nobody is born, nobody is condemned or blamed for being born ignorant. Ignorance is very natural. It is natural for one to see, mix his I with everything else. Just for understandings, I also is one of the manifestations. And it is I, the one of the manifestations, is the highest form of manifestation. And it is subtlest form of manifestation also. Because it is not perceptible. You cannot see I. You cannot perceive I as an object. If you can see everything, if you can objectify anything, then you can see anything objectifiable can be seen as one of the manifestations. Unfortunately, the I is not objectifiable. I itself is what? No. I is not objectifiable. That is why we have to distinguish the I from everything else and see exactly what I is. And actually speaking, and only as the truth of the I alone, you can understand the very reality. And when you understand the reality being the conscious reality, the actual substance of the substantive I, and you understand the nature of I is this. Really, this what is understand here. So, this I am of the nature of attributelessness. I am, I itself am the consciousness which is of the nature of actionlessness. I itself am the consciousness which is of the nature of timelessness. I itself am the consciousness which is of the nature of wholeness. And I itself am the consciousness which is of the nature of untaintedness, which is of the nature of changelessness, formlessness, and which is of the nature of fullness, ever free. And I am the self, I am the consciousness, which is of the nature of blemishlessness, which is free from all blemishes and impurities. I am Atma, the all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. That is the meaning given here. It is distinguishing the I from other objects of knowledge and which constitute an individual. Then seeing what I is and that Swarupam of the I being consciousness, the resolving I in the consciousness which is of this nature is said in this verse. Then we'll continue with that. We'll read it verse again. Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo. You have every word is very beautiful, but you have to memorize this words. Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirguno Nishkriyo Nityo.
Nirvikalpo Niranjana.
Nirvikalpo Niranjana.
Nirvikaro Nirakaro.
Nirvikaro Nirakaro.
Nitya Mukto Smi.
Nitya Mukto Smi.
Nirmalaha.
Nirmalaha.
Ahamakashavat Sarvam.
Ahamakashavat Sarvam.
Bahirantargato Chyutaha. Sada sarva samashuddho.
Sada sarva samashuddho.
Nissango nirmalo chalaha.
Nissango nirmalo chalaha.
Now all these verses are very beautiful verses. I'll do one more verse and stop if it is time. There's time. Aham Akashavat Sarvam Bahihi Antargataha Achyutaha. It's a very beautiful verse. Sarvam Bahirantargataha Bahirantargataha Achyutaha. Aham Sarvam Akashavat Aham Sarvam Bahir Antargataha. Bahihi Antargataha. If you take the space, Akashavat, like this space, the space has no inside and outside. You can talk about when you see the house, you can, the house exists. What is a house? The house is nothing but many walls put together intelligently, and all these walls enclose space. And the walls which seem to be enclosing the space really have their very existence in space. The walls standing in space and seemingly divide the space, not really, seemingly divide the space. And we talk about the inside space and outside space. How much space is there outside the house within the compound, and how spacious the house is? We talk about this. Which means as though space is divided. Really speaking, we know very well, intellectually, cognitively, we can understand this very beautifully. This space has no inside, outside. There's no inner space or outer space. Space has no inside or outside. Only relatively, from the standpoint of the upadhi which exists in space, which has its existence in space, is all the walls which stand in space. We talk about the, relatively we talk about the inner space and outer space. Absolutely, there is no such thing called inner space and outer space, because the space is one indivisible, partless whole. In fact, space which seems to be, which is seemingly divided, relatively, as though divided, appears to be as though divided, this space, in this space alone, all these dividing walls, the seemingly dividing walls of all the houses exist, have their very existence in the very space. There was space, therefore all these walls which stand in space are pervaded by the space. All these so-called seemingly dividing walls of different houses, you know, they, when they have existence in space, mean they're pervaded by space. There's no wall which is not pervaded by space. In and through this, every wall is pervaded by space. In fact, in this space, all the walls exist. But they seemingly, they divide this space. And this, they, we talk about the inner space and the outer space. But a relative is apparent division. It is not absolute division. So also he says, and what about Atma here? I am consciousness. I am Atma. I myself am the Atma, the consciousness. What is it here? Akashavat, like this space, Bahir Antargataha. I pervade everything in and through, outside, inside of everything I pervade. The consciousness pervades inside of the body, mind is complex, outside of the body, mind is complex. Even all these, in consciousness alone, all these different bodies, body, mind, in organisms, the living things, non-living things, all of them have their existence in the very consciousness, which is one indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, Bahihi Antargataha means inside, outside, I am consciousness pervading, which pervades everything inside and outside like this space. I am the consciousness, indivisible, partless whole, which remains pervading everything inside and outside of everything. And like what? The word Achyutaha. Beautiful word. Achyutaha means You know, chutam, chutam means that which is removable, that which can slip away is called chuta. So, chutam means that which is removable is called chutam. And achyuta means that which cannot be removed. Irremovable, non-removable is achyuta. Suppose if you say, let me remove the water and then let me leave the wave here. Let me go to the ocean, take some water and remove the wave there. I want only water, not the wave. Let me bring the water and then leave the waves there. I go to the shop and tell the shopkeeper, let me take the gold and leave the ornament here with you. Is it possible? Can you ever take the gold, remove the gold from the ornament and then leave the ornament for the shopkeeper and come? No. A gold is not removable from the ornament. You remove the gold means ornament becomes removed. Isn't it? It was called irremovability. Irremovability is called what now? Achyutatvam. Okay? So, achyutama means, because I self am the Atma, the consciousness, which is one indivisible, partless whole, which pervades everything in and through, you know, everything, inside and outside of everything. Therefore, which is irremovably there, pervading everything. Achyutaha. That is the beautiful thing. In Tamil, we say, Nikam ara. Nikam ara nirainda parambarul. Achyuta. Therefore, Aham akashavat sarvam bahir antargataha achyutaha. And then what is this now? Sada, there's no time when I am not there in any of these things. All these names and forms, all these so-called forms keep coming and going. But what doesn't come and go, what is always there permanently is the consciousness, Atma. Therefore, but all the names change and the forms change. The things, the world comes and goes, the namarupas come and go, the bodies come and go, the sense organs come and go, mind come and go, thoughts come and go, the experiences come and go. What one thing which does not come and go, what is always there, irremovably, changelessly, what is always there is what here, sada, what is there is the Atma. And how? Sarva samaha, and that which remains the same in everything. Sarva samaha shuddha, ever pure without being subject to any of these changes or modifications or blemishes or impurities. Ever remains, that which remains the same forever. In everything, and then I don't know, at the same time, untainted, untouched by anything, nissangaha, nissangaha, untouched by anything. And there is again, he repeats the word nirmalaha, being free from untainted, untouched by any of these names and forms, and polluted by any of these impurities or blemishes which come and go. Nirmalaha, achalaha, achalaha, immovably, that which is there always. Achalaha means immovable reality, which means it doesn't come and go. Sada sarva samaha shuddha nissangaha nirmalaha, nor can it be pushed by anything else also. Achalaha, so immovably, unmovingly, which is always there, remaining the same in everything, pervading everything, undergoing any changes, through thick and thin, inside and outside of everything, without any change or whatsoever. What is that is the reality, the consciousness. Now, I am that consciousness, the reality. I am that Atma. But the forms and names come and go. The impurities and blemishes appear and disappear. But this consciousness is ever free and ever pure. What is said here? Aham akashavat sarvam bahir antargataha achyutaha sada sarva samaha shuddaha nissangaha nirmalaha achalaha. And then the same verses are continued here. One more verse is given revealing the nature of the Atma. And the 37th verse, I think with that the teaching, this particular teaching comes to an end there. And he is going to begin the new topic after 37th verse, I think. And he gives the same thing, the same Atma Swarupam is revealed by the following verse also, which I'll do it in the next class. It's okay? And then I'm sitting here in the daytime, I don't know the real time, your timing. And I keep on talking, thinking it's a lot of time we have, as if, you know. And the last verse he says, and nirantara abhyasta. So, and this, one has to understand one's swarupam being consciousness, and that one has to resolve one's identity. One's identity means one has to resolve this understanding I, that reality. Thereby one has to dwell upon this nature of one's own swarupam being consciousness. And as a result of it, then as a result of which one's avidya vikshepaha, okay, this avidya, the ignorance and the one's projections, and projection caused the, you know, the jiva srishti, talk about jiva srishti, everything. The following verse talks about a lot of jiva srishti also. How one's own projection caused confusions, one's wrong perceptions and the ignorance, and all of them will just disappear, like how just as medicine removes rasayanam, medicine removes the diseases, so will this contemplation remove all these problems caused by one's own wrong projections. This he is going to say later on. So let me do this. The following verses really need a lot of time, and we'll do it next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.